this episode of Go Bag. I want to mention how we got here.
We have a commissioned objective, right? Are we really giving a potential audience a good cut at what the entire podcast is going to be about? And then I think the answer was no.
We want you to help us bring this together and be a part of it.
Strap in, operatives. This is Go Bag, and here are your mission leaders, Sean and Harrigan.
That's right. Welcome to Go Bag. I'm one of your hosts, Sean.
And I am John, better known as Harrigan for codename purposes for this podcast.
That's right. Codename purposes. This is the premiere pilot episode of Go Bag Podcast. We're going to talk about who are we, what is the show about, what's the segments, what we would be looking for from you, the listener, right?
Yeah, all those things. I think we have like a commissioned objective, right?
We do.
And that is to get into espionage, spy, covert action RPGs.
And that's what the show in a nutshell is going to be about, as like Harrigan outlined briefly. But I wanted to kind of talk, I want to mention how we got here. So for a while, Harrigan and I have played games with each other. You know, he's run, I've run, we've been players, we have a steady every other Thursday night group, and we play a lot of different games at different lengths. We both have, I guess, an affection for espionage action games. Would that
an
be
affinity?
Even. Affinity, yes. And way back in the day, I've done other podcasts for those of you that aren't familiar with Harrigan or I. We'll get into that briefly. But years ago, when I looked at podcasting, there was a show that I had listened to called Accidental Survivors. Rob, Chris, and Fraser, all from Canada, would get on the mics and talk about games that were set in the modern era, specifically spy games is what their kind of angle was. And Fraser might listen to this eventually. Not the greatest of audio back then, but it was years and years and years ago. And I got to meet those guys at a Gen Con. And as time went on and my gaming preferences have evolved, I found games like Delta Green, White Lies. What was the last one that you found, Harrigan? Operators.
Yep.
And a few of those. And
there's
thought,
a bunch, man.
Yeah. And as I was going through Delta Green, I was looking up different, like as I ran down the Delta Green path and got into that, I was listening to other Delta Green podcasts, since many of them are actual plays. Some would talk about the game. And then some of those that were talking about the game and doing actual plays are no longer in production, is what I'm finding. So there's a lot of Delta Green shows out there, but not a lot of kind of rules and tips and tricks and things of that nature. And so I started up with this idea and I ran it by Harrigan and said, hey, this is what I'm thinking. And he said, you know, I'll let you speak for yourself.
Excited to participate. I would say, Sean, that we're coming at this from slightly different angles that may actually, it may enrich in the podcast a little bit, right? And enrich is not even a word, but that's all right. I think that, like, I do see a difference between just straight modern games, like any game that takes place in, like, the 20th century, 21st century, whatever. Like, there's many angles of horror, of thrillers, of just slice of life type stuff that, you know, the cozy games that you love so much. So I do put the, you know, I think one of the early 80s games states it best when it says Mercenaries, Spies, and Private Eyes, right? And we'll get into that game and a bunch of others, but I think that game for me encapsulates what I'm looking to explore on this podcast, is those types of covert action espionage, whether it's like Cold War, like Streets of East Berlin in the rain, like low-fi, low action, or whether it's the new Mission Impossible movies, which are like ridiculous, right? Or Kingsman, that level of like absurdity. So I don't know. I'm excited to talk about this stuff. And I think Sean, we're going to do a little bit on sort of our own backgrounds and kind of the perspective we're bringing. When we do that, I'll talk about some specific things I want to get out of the podcast, which I think will drive some of the, you know, some of the episodes and some of the the conversation, I think you have some other things that you want to do, right?
Yeah. And so it started kind of Delta greenish. And then Harrigan had said, you know, are you wanting just to do that? And I thought to myself, I could, but there is so much more in that space with espionage and things of that nature that I also appreciate. As a matter of fact, I appreciate that of Delta Green, but Delta Green may not be all espionage all the time. There's a tradecraft element, but I wouldn't consider it hard espionage. It's right.
Yeah, that is one of the reasons why I kind of made that like dividing line. I'm like, modern games can include lots of other things, including running a bed and breakfast or a bar, right? There's games that do that stuff now. Whereas Delta Green for me, and you know, you're running Delta Green right now, which I'm sure we'll talk about. So it's foremost in your mind. And there are absolutely heavyweight espionage, tradecraft type things in there, but they don't have to be. You can also be a hot dog vendor who happens to get, you know, mixed up in the program and all that sort of stuff, right? So I want to, the way I'm gonna bend this is more towards the truly espionage spy stuff, which Delta Green is part of that. And I think one thing we talked about in the beginning was, you know, if the first few episodes are all about Delta Green, are we really giving a potential audience a good cut at what the entire podcast is going to be about? And then I think the answer was no. I think we want to make sure that we cover some wider ground, and then maybe then we focus in on single games like Delta Green or White Lies or Top Secret or Mercenary Spies and Private Eyes, you name it. And we're going to, as we move through the show here, we'll list off some of the stuff that either are influences or are things that we want to get into as part of the podcast, because for me at least, like, I'm not that well read in this genre. Like, I have not read tons of Le Carre and even Ian Fleming. I'm more of a, you know, popcorn kind of guy. Like, I like the movies. I like the role-playing games. Got some great comics that are espionage action, but I am not somebody who's read every single, you know, novel that, you know, some of the greats have ever written, sort of thing. I don't know. What is your perspective on that, Sean? Your kind of your motivation?
Well, yeah, that is the motivation. And Go Bag was kind of the key, because I think if a Go Bag can apply, and if you're not familiar with what a Go Bag is, it's typically, and it doesn't even necessarily have to be espionage based. It could be literally common citizen, you know, if something were to happen, an emergency, and it could be natural disaster. You put things into a bag and you grab it and leave. It's already pre-packed. Some people, I've seen videos online, some veterans that have go bags that they've made up themselves. The whole purpose of that is to just grab the necessities of what will get you through a few days, and it could contain a lot of different things. With the espionage genre, go bags, well, typically you'll see in the movies where they're packing it full of like five different passports, $10,000 worth of cash, two types of weapons, and all those details. So that's where the concept of the name kind of fits in with the theme of the show. But going to what Harrigan was saying is, yes, I have read Fleming, Jean Le Carre, not so much, but I hope to get back into those. And Fleming, I haven't read for years, and I like the books even sometimes better than the movies, honestly, with Bond. So for those not familiar with Ian Fleming, he wrote James Bond. And
you're in the, you know, Madison area, you're in Wisconsin, I'm in Colorado. I'm a little closer to prepper territory. so go bags are commonplace. I have a go bag. My wife and I have a go bag that is, well, for fires and for like stuff that happens. So about 3 years ago, there was a big fire not that far from my house here in Colorado. And we were scrambling to get passports and laptops and just all sorts of shit, trying to collect it together. So last couple of years, we pulled together some things. It includes some MREs and stuff like that, but it's nothing crazy. But yeah, we have. I mean, it's a thing. It's a big thing in Delta Green, where you might get the call from the controller or the handler, and they might be like, you need to be in New York City tonight, and it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and you're in Baltimore, right? It's that kind of. Literally, you got to grab it. You don't have time to pack it, right? So it might be in the locker or the car. We'll talk about this later. I just finished watching a movie that has a really cool take on this called The Killer. It's a David Fincher movie with Michael Fassbender. And Fassbender as an assassin has like, picture what's the word I'm looking for? The storage facilities that are like with the metal aluminum doors that roll up and that kind of thing. They're all over the country, right? He has them in like many cities and they're all like kitted out. So as long as he can get to the city and get to his storage unit, he has access to all these passports, firearms, documents, replacement license plates, all kinds of cool stuff. Not the best movie in the world, but I liked it a lot. But we'll get into the actual you know, the motivation or the media that drives this. In terms of who we are, I'm an old gamer, right? I think, you know, for those who do know me know this story well, but for people who are new to the podcast or new to Sean and I and what we bring to the table, 83 is when I started. I was an AD&D guy. I rapidly shifted to a bunch of other games, could not get my group to do that. So I tried to get Palladium Fantasy to the table, Marvel Superheroes, James Bond, Fastest Star Trek, Judge Dredd, all these games in like the middle 80s when I was like a little tired of AD&D. And it turned into eventually that group kind of breaking up because I was like, hey guys, I found this game called GURPS and I think it's better. It suits me better. And without going too far into it, that, you know, there was, it was also the end of high school and the beginning of college and all that sort of stuff. So there were other pressures and interests, let's say. But in the end, through the 90s, I played a lot of GURPS. I played a lot of Feng Shui, a lot of like underground. And then I transitioned in the 2000s, you know, steering clear of D&D for many years, playing Fate, playing lots of independent games until the OSR came around. And when the OSR really surfaced, it really kind of rekindled my love of like that sort of mythic, you know, mythic underground D&D, dark forest D&D, small village with a problem kind of D&D, like the simpler stories. And I've been in that space. My head's been there for a long time, for years now. And more recently, I've been sort of exploring, like, what about these other games that I was so interested in over the years, including Supers games and including espionage games. So in terms of my history with espionage games, I tried to run James Bond once. I never even opened a box of Top Secret. But then I started to run a lot of espionage games in generic systems like Fudge, like Fate, like GURPS. So there was espionage elements, et cetera. And these days I've landed on, you know, Delta Green as a one of my favorite games. But I've also got a handful of other games that I really hope to explore in this podcast to try and understand, like, how light can a game be and it still scratches the itch? Because I tend towards more minimalist, lighter kinds of games than super crunchy games. And a lot of espionage games are pretty full on when it comes to the crunch. So I'm trying to search for that sort of, you know, the middle ground or the nice fit. And I suspect there's not going to be one game, but multiple that I enjoy playing. But let's hear from your side of the table here. What you're bringing in.
So I started back in 1983, right around the same time. I had some friends of mine introduce me to Advanced Dungeons & Dragons, and that was the flagship game for quite some time. And then if we didn't play AD&D, and that could have been because we didn't have a Dungeon Master for some reason, we had two other games that we would go to, either Star Trek, Fastest Star Trek, or Top Secret, first edition by TSR. And I had some friends that would play Top Secret, but they wouldn't play D&D and they wouldn't play Star Trek. So it depended on kind of the circles and the Venn diagram of how many people would be available when to play what game. I got out of the hobby for quite some time, probably 10 or 15 years, came back to the hobby through a friend that I had played with a long time ago. He said, hey, I'm running games for my nephew and you guys should try to get back into it. They got third edition D&D out there. It's D20. It makes a little bit more sense than AD&D. And so since that moment forward, I've been head deep into tabletop role-playing games, have run fifth edition for a while, Pathfinder, starting to go into many, many more different games, some in the independent scene and learned what PBTA was and have not played Fate, but know a little bit about it. Similar path to Harrigan and going into a little bit more lighter games. You know, the big, thick, huge rule books are not something that I'm overly enthusiastic about delving into, but I'm trying to keep an open mind. Through that journey, I met a person through my day job and we ended up starting a podcast So some of you might know me from the Gaming and BS RPG podcast that we ran for over 6.5-7 years on a weekly basis. The catalog is still out there. And that was very much game agnostic, talking about just mostly game mastering. That's how I met Harrigan, honestly, is through that podcast, and have become friends with a lot of good people across around the world, crazily enough. Most recently into Delta Green, which spurred the kind of this conversation. Fantasy for a little while became kind of a lull for me. I wasn't interested in fantasy. I ran Curse of Strahd that fumbled really poorly. And then I just got into a real funk to say, well, if I play, you know, Shadow Dark or, you know, D&D or, you know, Barbarians of Lemuria or whatever, insert whatever fantasy game, how are they different enough to capture my attention? But I have gotten into Shadow Dark. We're playing Outcast Silver Raiders, but still very much an itch into different games in a different setting because I think I'm just fantasied out, but not ruling it out completely. So that's a little bit about me.
Yeah, that's fair. And I would, Sean, you're being humble. The podcast you ran before and all the work you've done since then as our, you know, on your RPG Sean channel, and the other projects that you've had, there's really quite a community that's built up around that, right? And it outlived the podcast that you had with Brett. And quite frankly, 90% of the people that I play with, and I know the same is true for others in that community, are other people who we call BSers, right? It's how I know you. It's how I know, two of the game groups that I currently game with consistently are comprised of people who either are in that community or are adjacent to it. And I met through the community, you know, through a friend of a friend kind of thing. So it's been, you know, we're not young guys, right? And the other thing that you mentioned that I wanted to make sure that I sort of shared about myself as well, many people our age have taken breaks, right, from gaming as they've had kids, they've gone into the military, they've taken jobs, they've moved, whatever it might be. I got into a similar situation after grad school where my second big RPG group broke up. And that is when I switched to pure play by email and then play by post play. So these are asynchronous ways to play RPGs where you're writing what's happening in the game. You're not doing it at a live table. And I played that way from 1995 to 2019, like a long time. Right. That was pretty much the exclusive way I played, the exception of a couple of games for my kids as they showed interest in different systems and whatnot. But in 19 is when I discovered your podcast and is also when I decided to like get back to the table and go to cons and find out how are these other and newer games? How do GMs run them and that kind of thing? So I really made an effort to get, off my duff basically. And, not just do play by post games, which remain a favorite way of mine to run games, including espionage games, frankly, because it's a slower format that lets you take your time and focus on details, focus on story, focus on characters, right? It is absolutely not for everybody. There's lots of pros and cons. And this isn't a show about that, but I do think I bring some perspectives, to the table based on that period. And I will also say I have run and played in a lot of games over the years because you can have so many on the go at once with play by post, right? Like I play two regular campaigns live and I typically have about 10 games that I'm playing in on play by post. So there's just a lot of interaction, a lot of different rule sets and all that sort of stuff. So hopefully I bring some unique perspectives to the table based on that. And I will also say, you know, the only place that people would probably know me at this stage, if they're not in the GBS community, is from Harrigan's Hearth, which is just a Substack blog that I, about once or twice a month, I try to get something out on there. And, you know, I've been not that successful in keeping to the schedule, but I'm trying. And it is basically a whatever's in my head RPG related kind of comes out on the page. So that's it for me. I do have a section or a topic I'd love to talk about, Sean, which is about what we want to get out of the podcast. But do you want to go first and say what you want to see? Like, what do you want the result to be if we do 10, 20, 30, 50 of these episodes? What do you want to see out of it?
Yeah, I want to be the premier show. I want to be the show when people say, hey, are you running a spy game, an action thriller? Delta Green, potentially. Maybe we don't have the double down niche that maybe just a dedicated Delta Green podcast has, but I want, you know, a quality show that sounds good, that offers good advice, good tips. I told Harrigan early on, when a person leaves an episode, I want them to have something that they can take with them. And if they use it, great. And if they don't, that's fine too. But something that's a little bit
actionable.
Yes, actionable for sure, I would say. But it has three segments that we're coming up with, and each one has a purpose. And I want to also have a community that gets driven out of this, and that there's some shows they record, they don't have people write in, they may have a Patreon, but that's kind of it. And they may have comments on their YouTube channels or whatever. I would much, much more be more accessible and open, and that if we run into each other at a convention, that I would hope people would come up and play in our games or come to our soirees or become patrons and play in our games and become friends. Like, it's a community, for Pete's sakes. And that's what I'm hoping. I've always been big on that. And obviously I wouldn't be doing this with Harrigan if it weren't the case, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, this hobby, you know, if you set aside some of the bigger properties, right. The Critical Role and 5e and that sort of thing, which, you know, I wish all that part of the hobby, all the success in the world. Well, if you carve that off, the community is pretty small. Right. And incredibly fractured, because there are so many games, so many genres, so many different ways to play, so many reasons why people play these games, right? What they get out of it, kind of thing. So I do think having a podcast like this can be a bit of a centering point for people who are like-minded, right? They want to see more espionage games, adventures. They want to learn more about how to run them. They want to learn more about how to play them. And quite frankly, I am professing to be no expert in this arena. In fact, Sean, if you don't mind, you've kind of laid out what you want to get out of the show. Let me do the same for what I want to see come out of the show. And it has to do with this sort of like learning that I want to do around this genre, because I love it. And I have lots of inspirations that come out of the films and books and everything else. But when you get right down to it, I haven't run and played in that many espionage games, certainly no long campaigns, right? All right. So what I want to get out of this are really, you mentioned fantasy being like it's a go-to for everybody, right? It has been for me as well. And there are certain types of fantasy that I am very dialed into now, right? Like, I don't want to play high fantasy. I want to play low fantasy, mud and blood, die in a ditch, OSR, you know, everyone has a Cockney accent and you're in a Guy Ritchie movie kind of
thing.
That's
weird. I don't know if those games, are there many of those, or is it just, I think there's like one or two.
You've played in a few, and there are a bunch of those games, yes. but if you set that aside, so my point is, I have played a lot of fantasy over my gaming career. There are three types of games that I feel like I have not done justice to that I love, three genres. And one is Westerns. Like, I love Westerns and would love to run more and play more, but the opportunities are limited. Cyberpunk, same thing. Like, I really like cyberpunk as a genre. And the third is espionage. So this is, I'm seeing this show as a way to kind of scratch that itch and really dive into places I haven't been able to. And as a result of that, like, the second point is, I think the research that we're going to do for this, like, I'm going to be watching movies, reading books, reviewing RPGs. I'm looking forward to just marinating myself, just pickling myself in this espionage brine.
Slathering, yes. A little bit, maybe.
I can't wait. Because honestly, you know, you and I are both professional guys. Like, the jobs keep us busy. We got families. We got all kinds of stuff going on. Movie watching is something that's kind of taken a back seat for me for many years. I mean, with the number of like Netflix and HBO and other series that are out there, I've missed a ton. So when you first approached me about this, and I was like, I need to do this like immersion in the genre to get my head in the game, I'm like, holy crap. I haven't seen the new Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy yet. I haven't seen in XYZ name the series or the number. And I'm plowing through things right now. So I'm thrilled to have like a motivation to go and do this, right? It's really been fun. I've watched like only like three or four movies so far. I bought a book and I haven't gotten deep into it, but I'm really looking forward to that part of it. I mentioned this already, but what I want out of this is to be educated. I want people who are listening to the show to write in and say, have you seen this? Have you thought of this? Have you read this short story? like, I can't wait to see the documentaries that people recommend and that sort of thing. I think that's going to be super cool. I mentioned this already as well. The fourth thing is that I want to see how light can I go? Can I run Tiny Spies, which is the Tiny D6 espionage game, and have everyone at the table enjoy it? Or is there just not enough meat on the bone because we need more around chases or gadgets or name your mechanic? And I think we're going to have a show, by the way, you and I have talked about it, around like, what should a good espionage game have in it? Like, what mechanics does it need to cover? So we're going to get to that. And then the last thing is, we've talked about this before in some other arenas, Sean, around the applicability of a universal game and the pros and cons. Games like GURPS, like Savage Worlds, like Fate, the YZE mini engine. I think there's a 2D20 SRD. So in other words, you take these games that are generic, and how applicable are they to a very specific genre? I think they're pretty applicable to the espionage genre, because I don't know if there's that many mechanics that you desperately need that don't exist elsewhere. I might be wrong about that, but the last thing I want to do is explore like a dedicated game that, you know, like this game Operators that you mentioned. How does that play versus something that is more like, I built a YZE mini game, or in fact, maybe we'll play Agent Provocateur, which is the third party YZE spy game. And we can kind of compare and contrast, like, do the generic games hold up? Because I will tell you, like, I think Suede, Savage Worlds, will do a very good high octane spy game. It won't do a you know, Cold War game very well, but I think it will do the high flying stuff. So those are the things that I'm like, personal takeaways. I also love what your perspective is, which is to make it valuable to people. You know, they listen and there's something they can try in their game or something they want to go research or whatever. So I'm keen on seeing where this goes. Should be fun.
Sweet. Let's talk a little bit about the show. And then I think as we get into each segment, we could talk. Once we get to the one main segment, we'll get into kind of what things we have on the docket for topics and things of that nature. So the first one, as you would get into a regular, typical episode.
Give me the sit rep.
So sit rep, talking about that briefly, is, for those of not in the lingo, it would be situation report, which is kind of the state of what's going on. So any new crowdfunding campaigns, any events that are happening, the Delta Green community has an open submission for, what are they called? What's the
short? Shotgun scenarios?
Thank you. Shotgun scenarios, bringing those up. Any specific happenings going on within the community and specific to espionage or action RPGs in that regard. So that's what Sit Rep is going to kick off right after, kind of telling you what's going to be part of the show. Did I miss anything for Sit Rep?
I don't think so. It's the state of affairs.
And then we get into encrypted comms.
Sir, we have an incoming encrypted transmission.
You want to tell them what encrypted comms is going to be, Harrigan?
Well, this is where we interact with the community. Well, people will have either written in, maybe left a voicemail. I don't know if Sean, if you've settled all the channels. He's giving me thumbs up on the screen, folks. So it looks good. It's basically, you know, if you guys have questions, if you guys have things you want us to look at more carefully, we will, you know, either read or play those on the air and then react to them. So it's a bit of a Q&A from the fans.
Throw us a grenade. If you want to throw us a grenade at gobagpod.com, that's the email address. grenade@gobagpod.com.
Yep. And we want them. I mean, this is where Sean, I can picture, like, the two of us have our gaming perspectives and they're limited. You know, I did not play a lot of 80s. I tried to run James Bond, you know, once or twice. My guys wouldn't have it. Didn't even own Top Secret, didn't have Danger International, did not have Mercenary Spies and Private Eyes. So as we get into this and we provide our perspectives, I fully expect people are going to write in and say, man, the thing that you like is already in this other game over here, which was 5 years earlier. Or have you considered looking at X, right? I fully expect that's going to happen. That's what this segment's sort of aimed at.
And the number for our voicemail will be 929-BIG-DICE. That's a good one. I'm looking forward to what we get in encrypted comms. Next one.
Yeah, do it.
Have a seat. Let's get on with the mission brief.
The mission brief is going to be the main topic. We are going to give you your mission brief on a weekly basis. And this show will be approximately 45 minutes to an hour. I say that now. It will end up being like 2 hours long.
We can both be verbose. It's true.
But what are some of the things that we're going to cover in the main topic? Because we have not only like, okay, this is kind of the show format, but this show format may not be every episode.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess the way to describe it is that the way I was thinking about it as we first batted this around, Sean, was you talked about the fact that what about some like vignette style actual plays? What about some like hour long, pick a scenario, pick a chase, right? And play it out and actually record it. And then in a subsequent episode, break it down. So we actually get into how do these mechanics work? Did they support what we think the espionage genre needs? But beyond that, deep dives on specific topics that we think either a set of films that are great inspiration, a particular game, we might do a review. We might interview authors of some of these games. I suspect we're going to have some general sort of GM and player advice type scenarios. There's a lot of different things that we can cover. I'm probably forgetting some. What am I forgetting, Sean, that we might kind of have as topics?
One thing that we are wanting to do is also a Q&A at some point. So it may not be like one of the things Harrigan is listening to one of the shows that he admires. And one of the things that they do is after a few episodes that they set out an entire episode to Q&A. Now, I don't know if we'll just offer that to patrons or to the general public, or we offer it to patrons, then release that show to the general public. But there was Harrigan specifically brought up that Q&A piece that would be good for interaction and things of that nature.
I did. So that, yeah, that comes from the podcast is Between Two Cairns. And, you know, we'll be lucky if we can get a tenth of that, of the attention that that one gets. But if we do have, if we're lucky enough to have people writing in or calling in who are interested in engaging in the show, you know, in the earlier piece that Sean talked about, the encrypted comms, we're not going to go through like 30 minutes of feedback. So if the feedback builds up and we're covering one or two per episode and we discover that, you know, there's actually like 20 questions here that people have asked us that we'd love to get into, we'll take the entire episode and we'll unpack what those comments are, especially if a lot of them are related around the same topic kind of thing. So I think what we're driving at, Sean, is that we've got a standard structure, but we're kind of flexible in this mission brief part of it. We're always going to have the same key components of the podcast to make it just sort of familiar and you kind of know what you're getting. But I do think it will probably evolve it as we go as well. As we get a few episodes under our belt and get better at this, hopefully, maybe we'll figure out that we're going to do certain things in an order. Maybe we do a preview of a game, we do a vignette actual play, and we break it down, then we talk to the creator if we can. There may be some runs like that that we try to get done, right?
One other thing that we're also being considered, since we're in this main topic kind of thing and talking about the show and what it's going to all entail, one of the things that we're considering and putting into place is seasons. I mean, if you're Critical Role, you have your seasons, right? But if you're a typical RPG podcast, some do that, some don't. But Harrigan brought it up and asked me, so how long do you think you're going to do this for? Because I've had some runs that haven't been, you know, over a year's time, if you will. But, and he said, well, why don't you do seasons? Because you can theme a season around it. You could cap it at 20 episodes. You could take a break for a little while. And so we are going to do seasons. And I think with season one, the theme is kind of general espionage. I mean, I don't know if we've even baked the full season yet, but we could also queue them up where we could have all of season two planned by the time we're on our 10th episode in season one, you know, things of that nature.
Yep, totally agree. Yeah, I love the idea. And, you know, we haven't even decided yet, Sean, how long the season is. And we might make it variable to your point, you know, that you made, I think, a couple of weeks ago to me, which is season one might be 12 episodes if it fits nicely in the can. The other reason why I'll interrupt myself here. Another reason why I like seasons is because that's the time to kind of take a breather as well. We're trying to do this weekly. having some seasons might mean that if either Sean's got some vacation or I got some other projects or whatever, we take a couple of weeks off and we come back to it and we're like all in again week after week. I think the seasons can help with that as well. In the end, when the body of work is starting to be built out, we've got a few in the can here. I would love to see us be able to refer to like season one is where we covered the 80s games. Top Secret, James Bond, Mercenaries, Spies and Private Eyes, and there's a couple more we probably get to. Maybe that's a season, right? Maybe another season is the more modern games. Maybe there's a whole season that's focused on Cold War stuff or on Kingsman style, super high octane, ridiculous action type stuff. So it gives us the ability to kind of do some nice bucketing of similar ideas, I think, is what I would say.
So that wraps up, I think, the main topic, mission briefing. So what can we talk about further? So the calls to action is we want you to help us bring this together and be a part of it. I don't think we value that. We love the relationships that we've both built through the RPG community. And so we also realize that this show may not appeal to many of our friends that may not really jam on espionage games or games that are set in the modern era. And that's all right. It's no big deal. We're still one big happy family of TTRPG hobbyists and players. But, you know, write in with some suggestions, right? Like right off the bat, you can get in at the ground level and let us know what you want to hear from us, knowing what we've just outlined for the last few minutes. We are going to have a Patreon. We'll probably use the one that I have in place currently. I'm still kind of being fleshed out, but we're going to have three different levels with benefits to each level, and I'll be posting that to Patreon because some of the levels that people are contributing to now will probably change, and that should be something everybody is aware of. And if it's something that you'd want to support because it doesn't really have anything to do with what you're supporting Sean for, that's fine. I totally understand. But I want to make it much, much more robust when it comes to patrons. So we're going to have a lower level, maybe around the $3 range a month, where people will get early released episodes. They will get ad-free episodes and partake in as kind of community members. And then there's going to be one, we'll call that maybe field operative. The second one will be special agent. That'll be the $7 level per month. And that's going to include everything prior, as well as access to exclusive live recordings. So we want to have people join live. So we're going to stream this live either on YouTube or Patreon privately that people can watch if they want. We don't expect it. Everybody will be getting the show for free, obviously, when it goes out to the public. So it's a way of getting it super early. And then we'll release the audio early. There'll be merch discount codes, maybe even voting when we put up topics up to a vote. Maybe Harrigan and I think we should do this one. Harrigan wants to do this one. Let's have the community decide on which one we do next. And then lastly, the Black Ops director is not, you know, it's going to be $15 a month. That's going to be a little bit of an investment. So everything from the prior levels and then a guaranteed invite to one patron-only game per year. And that may be a game or one of the vignettes that we decide to run. So if we're not going to do a duet game, where Harrigan's running and I'm playing and we want to run a chase scene through Agent Provocateur to see how it goes, we'll tap somebody from that level to see if they're interested in coming on and doing that. And then we record it. And then, of course, we want to put out some exclusive swag. We're working on some bookmarks right now that we'll only send out to individuals at that level. We're going to end up doing a series, maybe even on a seasonal run. Provide people with like hats, t-shirts, some of those details, because, you know, that's the big one, the big behemoth backer supporter. So.
Yep. Exciting stuff. But I'm happy to let you manage all that part of the show. You're good at it. I'm new to it. So yeah, it's all you, baby.
So we'll have some links down in the notes of this show. So name some of the things that we mentioned, like the email that you could throw a grenade at us, the phone number. We'll have a link to Harrigan's Hearth, his blog. You know, if we're going to do this, we might as well promote some of the things that we also do. So I think that's beneficial. So Harrigan's blog will go through the roof. He'll probably become the number one RPG blogger ever because of this show.
Uh-huh.
And
until they read it and they realize there's an unsubscribe button. Yep.
Anything did we miss anything?
I think generally no. Like one comment you made a minute ago that I really like, which is basically like you don't have to wait until we get 5 or 10 episodes into this. If you've got thoughts, like if you have, make sure you cover this, this, and this, guys. Or my own thoughts around espionage games have always been, you know, this. We will absolutely take that in and use it to help frame the discussion or give us a better platform that we're trying to build here. So don't wait around that stuff. The only things that I think that we might want to still get into a little bit, Sean, that are not on the, you know, moving past the like show format and what this is. It's maybe to name a couple of influences, like the types of espionage, like your favorite books, movies, etc. And then the last thing is, and maybe I'll just do it. I'll just ring them off right now because, you know, you and I have already done it. Like we've mentioned a bunch of games already, right? But, you know, we are looking at this pretty carefully. So we're talking not just the games you mentioned already, the greats, but also Covert Ops, Spycraft, Cold Shadows. There's a bunch of GURPS stuff around espionage, special ops, and covert ops, specific books for all those things. Knights Black Agents. Outgun kind of fits in this mode a little bit. There's a new game called Procedural that's coming out. Dogs of War is more of a Mac Bolan style.
Oh, Mac Bolan. Wow.
Yep. 70s style sort of male fiction, hard-boiled kind of stuff, right? I think I mentioned Tiny Spies, Cold City, Hot War. There is a lot of games that are out there. The Troubleshooters. There's a suede game called Tuxedos and Trench Coats that I've run across. There is a lot to cover. And one of the reasons why early on I said to Sean, like, how long do you see this running? How much content is there? You know, this is a relatively narrow frame. And when we sat back and looked at it, we're like, man, we can talk about this stuff for a long time. And I don't mean that in a like, you know, shovelware type sense. I think we can have productive and hopefully entertaining and, you know, informative discussions around this stuff. There's been a lot of ink spilled over this in the RPG hobby, even though it doesn't get played all that much or isn't as visible as the D&D type stuff. There are a lot of people who really like this stuff, and I hope we can unearth some stuff that maybe not everybody knows about, or, you know, we can educate ourselves as we go. Do you want to put your favorite influences down? Do you want to save that for the next episode?
We can, We could talk about the influences quick. I don't know if I made
you want
a
to go first.
If you want to go, I didn't make a complete list of them. I could rattle some off the top of my head, but yeah, if you've got a list, go crazy.
Okay, so mine are a little weird because, you know, it's all the classics, and I suspect that anybody who happens to stumble across this show is going to know about, you know, all of the Bond, Bourne, Mission Impossible, you know, all the classic stuff that we currently enjoy, right? And there's some really good espionage stuff that's coming out right now in a variety of formats across all the streaming services and all that. But mine also comes from some really goofy, stupid things like Get Smart. I watched a lot of Get Smart as a kid.
Oh, man.
Like really cheesy old British stuff like The Prisoner, The Saint, The Avengers. I grew up in Canada, so I got a lot of that British television coming over. And then there are 60s movies like Our Man Flint and In Like Flint. Have you seen James Coburn in those movies, which are spoofs? They are spoofs on Bond movies, and they are fantastic. I mean, they're completely silly. I remember Dean Martin being in some of these movies. And then as I think about sort of how I consume this stuff and how it like shaped my perspectives on these things, the 90s rolls around and you get like La Femme Nikita, you get The Professional. Right. You get some really, really good darker stuff that I just really, really enjoyed. Austin Powers is pretty awesome, quite frankly. I mean, that Sean's rolling his eyes, but I think it's pretty cool. If you've seen the movie Munich, really gritty, really great new movie. I quite like the new Man from U.N.C.L.E. And then more recently, like there's a bunch of like either Apple series or others like Slow Horses, Day of the Jackal, like really, really good stuff that's coming out right now. I don't know. That's, you know, it's just, I just wanted to make sure that, you know, if the people are trying to understand the perspectives we bring to the table when they listen to us, what is informing, you know, my perspective kind of thing. What about you? Anything different than that laundry list?
No, you hit most of the ones that I would have brought up for sure. Like almost verbatim. I would say that I used to be a big fan of, oh my God, why is his name? Now I'm blanking. Hunt for Red October.
Tom Clancy.
Patriot Games.
Tom Clancy.
Tom Clancy.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
I used to read those years and years ago and was a big Tom Clancy fan. So some of those Jack Ryan characters, more intrigue. And then if you get into, they also have sometimes three story arcs going on in one of those novels, right? But not for the faint of heart. Like they are big books.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
But some of those, I don't know, like if we've talked about doing World War II or how far back we go. Is it contemporary as in, you know, 19 post-World War II on? Or do we get into earlier things like the 1920s? I mean, let's face it. I think the only other profession that's been around longer is prostitution.
Maybe, right? Maybe air breather.
You know? Well, fair enough. Yep. Air breather, prostitution. Yep.
And
spy.
And you're right. Like, for example, World War I is full of all kinds of really cool spy stuff. Right. If you dig and do the research, all kinds of stuff. In fact, I had notes on that. I don't think we need to get deeply into it, but I agree. Like, we will not limit it to just the modern time. Like, I think World War I OSS stuff and World War II is pretty awesome. And then when you get into this, like the 50s and 60s, all the Cold War stuff, and the 60s can also turn into the swinging 60s spy stuff, like the Dean Martin thing I mentioned and like the James Coburn thing I mentioned, like very much, you know, pop culture informed, very colorful. There's a lot we can do.
MK Ultra, man.
Yes.
MK Ultra.
Yep.
It's the era of MK Ultra.
Yep. Yeah. There's cool stuff we can do for sure.
Yeah. But also, I want to also put this out there now, because we're this is not for sure going to be a bend towards fantasy. We may do an episode on espionage in a fantasy setting potentially.
Yeah. Absolutely. And
why not?
Probably right? not. But absolutely we might.
Well, you know, I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. I could see it in an Eberron D&D campaign, the Dark Lanterns, totally espionage in the fantasy space.
Yeah, I mean, for those who take the other...
He doesn't know.
If you take... I don't know Eberron, it's true. If you take the other side of that, though, like the probably the extreme opposite end of fantasy, which is like George R.R. Martin's Song of Ice and Fire stuff, right? Game of Thrones. There's tons of espionage all through that, you know,
right,
where people are behind each other's backs, murdering, stealing, making deals. Like that, you're right. I mean, it's, you know what it is being human. it's what it is. So
that's true.
If there are people, whether it's science fiction or otherwise, and you're right, we could absolutely do episodes that are like, what about, you know, what if this is a cyberpunk espionage thing or space opera? Which is quite different than you know the hard science type stuff, right?
I mean, Andor is this.
There you go. There you go. Yeah.
Right. But those will definitely be more one-offs than the overall arching theme that and the list of games that Harrigan has rattled off. Right.
Agreed. I just remember two other movies I want to mention that people, if they want to do some background, have you seen The American, Sean, with George Clooney?
I did. I forgot about them.
Fantastic
movie.
The American is awesome. Haywire is a little known movie that most people probably haven't seen that stars the now persona non grata Gina Carano, who I think fell from grace. Well, she is an agent in that movie, and she has a fight with Michael Fassbender in a hotel room that you have to see. It is awesome. That is a really low budget, but gritty, well-made. I like that movie a lot. Haywire is good. So yeah, we're going to come up with stuff like this as we discover it. And as people recommend, hey, check this out. Like I also recommend those In Like Flint movies. Those are pretty funny.
We'll do an appendix N. Maybe we'll feature an appendix N on our website.
Maybe that's where I'm headed. Is it? Cause I got this, I started to amass a list of like, what has made me who I am when it comes to like my love of espionage, right? And it's all this stuff.
Yes. Yeah. And there's new ones coming out all the time. We haven't even talked about Burn Notice, which I heard some people are huge fans of, and I never really got into
it. Neither did I, but we'll talk about that. Let's save that for a future episode.
Yeah. for sure. I think we'll do an appendix end. So the website will be gobagpod.com. It's under construction. Hopefully it'll be a little bit more fleshed out after this episode drops, but that'll be kind of our central place. But we'll have a Patreon and the podcast, and yeah, we got all kinds of stuff.
Absolutely. I can sum up what I want out of this. I'm just remembering there's a byline in one of the games that is why I like these games. So White Lies has, as a byline, has doing bad things for good reasons. And that kind of sums it all up for me. You know, the whole underbelly of society, the underworld part of it that no one, you know, the public doesn't see all these things that are happening. I love that stuff. So yeah, I am thrilled to have the opportunity, Sean, to go over these games and this topic with you on a weekly basis. So we'll see where it goes. Yeah,
glad you could join me. So some people will be surprised, I think, that you are to hear your voice.
We'll see. Surprised and disappointed. I'm
right. Don't sell yourself short, Judge. You're a tremendous slouch. Well, thanks everybody for joining us on this first episode, and the next one we'll be talking more about what it is in the espionage genre, what makes up the game, what are some elements and mechanics that some of these games will have to encompass to really kind of check the box and are at the forefront of some of these games. So I'm your I guess we could consider ourselves handlers. I don't know.
Sure, we haven't talked about this. No,
we're still getting our sign-off shoes on the ground and firmly planted.
Right. We haven't gotten the full mission brief yet. So, yeah, we can. I'm just going to sign off. Signing off, Harrigan. Over to you, Sean.
See you, everybody. I'm Sean. See ya.